very cooperative because I think he knows that, you know, what other choice does he have? Shit, he's making reports, he's going to do it the right way or wait. He's going, my point to him was, Warren, you're going to wait anyway. You know? Because he want to show 20% overdue, he want to factor your lead time in and ask for, you know, when you get, because you're going to get it the same damn time anyway. And if we want to get into a pistol contest, you know, I'll be glad to put out just as many reports as you, but because Frank's programmed it in there now, I can get 76,000 reports out of this. Boy, I can report them to death. You know, it'll be the New York Times here if they want to play, but I don't think they want to play. You know?
The problem was before that they got into a crunch. They get into a crunch with people. They get into a crunch with the purchasing department. Well, it was easier for them to just drop it on us. And if we were dumb enough to handle it, then we were dumb enough to get ourselves in trouble.
You know, like
that's exactly what's going on.
On the e-order thing, that's an area that we need to talk about next. For example, you know, we're in trouble with two compressors because we sent two compressors out on e-order. Now, why the hell wouldn't you... What's the Mexican compressors?
Moxville.
Why wouldn't they get the compressor if P-Way didn't have it? Why does it come to ground? The machine? No, they got to be able to come with a compressor on the day.
Well, it's still our product.
So what? They make compressors.
Why wouldn't you go to a hydraulic motor manufacturer and expect him to come with a hydraulic motor? Same thing about compressors.
Because he's not IR, but they are.
That's still the same thing.
Yeah, but see, our
they
problem...
They make our compressors in certain lots for us. We might not have those.
Yeah, but I guess my question is, where the hell, where's our relief? Because, hey, the guy can walk in here and say, give me two compressors.
Well, I have relief.
And then I go to Moxville and they say, sorry, you got to wait till lead time.
You've got to continue to remember that we're all trying to service the customer.
No, we're not.
He's the guy that wants
we're
the product.
We're all trying to service the customer. That's where I disagree with you. I think we should. And I think we ought to collectively get our act together, but I don't really think we are. I think there's a lot of guys working to do what's best for them.
The same problem exists today with compressors that existed a couple years ago. And it was the reason why we finally went out and put PTO air ends in stock here. Because what was happening was Piscataway was going to Moxville. Moxville would give them a promise date of 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 9 weeks for an air end, which they couldn't live with. So then they would come back to us, and we would have to tear an air end out of the PTO here. And, you know, Moxville is supposed to have the same responsibilities we have to supply that type of material.
Well, they stock extra.
And we're continuously getting into that problem again here now, Cal. And it's something I think is going to have to be addressed, because Moxville even came back to us the last time and complained that we were shipping air ends to the field. And they said that we should not have air ends in stock to be going to the field.
And we don't. We say we're taking it from production and we're asking you for two more. And they're saying you can't have it without lead time. So now we take two rigs out of schedule.
Because the other problem we got into there was Moxville also had an agreement that air ends on warranty replacements, they could use a rebuilt air end to send to the field. We were sending new air ends to the field, and then we got into a problem with claims later. So it's a problem that should be addressed. I think, you know, we're going to have to look at it again.
Yeah, that's another area too that converges on this. Is the thing like take the air ends for example. Those orders were at the rebuild air ends, and Paul Hoskins or whatever got involved, or Cliff, I forget who the hell was down there, said ship them a new air end. And everybody disavows knowledge when they're dickering over the price of hearing. But who's got the authority to do that? Like right now, what I've told customer service, and I need to sit with Cliff and we can work some stuff out. But my feeling is these guys are a service group to provide information that maybe Keith Schaefer can't provide. You know, hey, I need a point. I need to know what to order. That's what they're there for. But they don't have the right to enter an order unless it comes to Gataway is the guy who went to Suez and who says it's okay to invoice this Danny Garage. This guy has no rights other than here, ship this tonight.
Customer service department has the authority to satisfy customers.
No, they don't.
And dictate whether we're going to ship something or not ship something.
So somebody better explain that to the accounting department, because per the accounting department, they have no authority to initiate anything. They will not invoice anything initiated by his area. We have a pure inventory shrink.
Cliff Chappell says we're shipping new air in to satisfy our customer. That's what we're doing.
Fine, but Cliff Chappell should say at Jupiter Scatterway and give me an order so I get invoiced. He shouldn't come over and pound on my desk. He has a damn group up there that divisional management or whoever set up, and everybody wants to go around them and we're in the middle. And I'm saying, bullshit, no. If they enter orders, and when they enter, it makes it official for Mayrosh to relieve the inventory and process an invoice for us to get credit for, then you can't bypass those guys.
All he has to do is notify Scatterway, put a 165 sure. order number on it, create the order, the order will come here, and it'll be supplied out of here.
Now, Hoskins, I'll sit down with Cliff to talk to him. I don't know if he's even aware of it, but Hoskins keeps, he never has fine to do that. So my argument with Hoskins is fine. You can't give me an order, but what you can do, give me a purchase rec. I'll sell you whatever the hell you want. You give me a purchase rec, you sign it, and Brian will charge it to your expenses. You guys can figure that out. That's what I'm doing for now. He wants something right away, and he wants to go around the system. I say, fine, give me a purchase rec, sign it. And I give a copy to Eddie, and I say, charge it.
Okay, we're getting off subject.
No, because it's service. Well, really, the whole area service is screwed up, and that's why these customers aren't getting taken care of.
That's a different part of service than we can't even talk about today.
All right, if you want to find it to M Orders. M Orders, we're going to do this. Now, the next part, I really think we need a follow-up on the other orders. It's the customer, the guy that's losing out, or those scraps going on. Even broaden this a moment for the DMH area thing, where we're going to... parts that we're going to have to be concerned with invoices now. You know, we're still having a problem, with this IREX group, they want to set up freight forwarders and stuff. We sent Berenger to Houston and everything, and Rick's got the guy he wants to use, and he's got a page full of reasons why, and they got their buddy in New York that they insist we set up. We're saying, I haven't got the guy on the phone yet, but we're on today. Santanzo was on vacation. But there's about 10 reasons why we should use the guy that Rick wants. You know, they got warehouse facilities down there, they can ship out of here, they've got guys that are on the dock to take care of our stuff, they've got full-time guys from Prowlers, they've got an office full of people. The other guy's got one girl in the office, she's out sick, she's screaming, can't ship out. They've got nobody working on the docks, they've got this, that, and everything. And Santanzo insists that's who we use, because he likes it, that's the main
game. Well, when you get Pete on the phone,
because we should talk about it. That kind of stuff, because like if we could set that up and then get the invoice that you had, at least with DMH, that'll help us, because that'll be the next area to fall down.
The other problem that we run into, especially with DMH, it's an internal problem that we have to solve, is we are continuously robbing piece parts and purchased components for emergency orders for DMHs. We're falling down internally. Those parts are not getting reordered and are not being put back onto the parts that we're buying them off or borrowing them from. And then that thing is being delivered to the floor as a shortage. Being delivered to the floor with shortages, but there's no records that it's short.
Anything that we're taking,
we're in trouble.
If we're doing stuff in the open, but we're taking something off, so we're setting up the shortage and we're setting up a rework order. There have been cases out there where that didn't happen with Hoskins. When he pulled the midnight raid, he broke out the shit off one of the boxes and sent Bruce Cooley there. But we ain't doing that consciously. Every time they do that, though, we have a problem. Because, we have a major problem with DMH service. You take electrics, what the hell do we stock? Every goddamn order is different, so we stock nothing. Now, if we ship one, and then the requirement comes in, we don't have the point. Like bumps for a while trying to get them because of the lead time. I don't know what to stock on that shit. And even the regular stuff, I don't know what to stock because every damn one you get, it's a different rate. So that service, that's going to be a very serious problem. All we can do with that is scramble, I think.
Well, we have the same problem, man. We have the same problem with 108s and 105s, but DMH is starting to get worse.
We're going to talk about DMH service then. So let's finish this meeting.
Well, this this one, that's our plan with this. Do you have any objections to what we're doing, or anything to add, or don't like? That's what we're doing right now, is Don is going to finish up today and reschedule the remaining orders on the file. When that list comes down, we'll set up the new lead times for them. In the meantime, as orders are coming in, we're giving them lead time for those orders and telling them what they should change on a daily basis. So we told them go ahead and install the file in the real time.
Well, I agree that we should give them our lead time, but I agree also that we should allow their one thing to drive our system here to try to get that stuff as soon as they want.
Well,
as we enter our lead time to their system, that'll continue to get better and better. I mean, we'll have the lead time we need.
Well, we will
in 80-90% of cases. But we can't, if they need a part a month from now, we can't go back and say, hey, sorry, we just can't get it for 6 months. Okay. And not try to get it for 6 months. We've got to at least try to get it sooner. We don't be out of stock for 5 months. Then she should check with Guy on these parts that we may think that we don't want to make any longer. See what we can set up with an outside machine shop.
But if I'm understanding you correctly, you're really saying just continue to do what just continue to load it their data, just give them the right lead time, continue to load their data.
Give them the right lead time so that they order the things right, so that when they do order it, their want date is within our lead time.
But they're not. They've got...
Well, they've got to get that straightened out.
Well, what's our leverage to get them to get it straightened out? Because they love us? If they haven't changed it yet, they keep ordering it on us with less than they've got.
If they continue to do that, then we'll have to go to somebody up there in their organization or somebody in our organization to get it straightened out. Got to remember that you got a customer out there that wants these parts. It's not them. They don't want the part. They want them to supply it to a customer. It's our job to make sure that we have the parts up there.
You know, let me point something out. If, for example, we went in there now and we gave them lead times now, and they went back and adjusted their file, we exploded it in one day, and that would readjust their whole order. Us a bunch of orders or whatever with the lead time. And they would tell us where, their system would tell them where they were in trouble, what orders they had that may have to be kicked up or whatever. So that's why I'm suggesting doing it that way rather than keep putting in their garbage lead time and keep pulling in their ear telling them to make it better, you know. Because this will force them to correct it.
But you're telling them you're only going to ship the thing within your lead time.
No, I'm telling them that if I can give it to them earlier than that, we will give it to them earlier than that. We're looking through that. But if we don't have any of the parts and the lead time is 18 weeks, we're going to tell them you're not going to get it for 18 weeks.
But I also know that there's 18-week lead time on there. If that was pushed up to the top of your expedite sheet, you could do it in 12 weeks.
That's true, but...
You don't want to always do it in 12 weeks, but some of the stuff you can do in 12 weeks.
Yeah, but if I'm looking at a shop load right now that's over 50% overdue, do I want to bring that to the top of my expedite sheet so they can hurry up and put it on the shelf?
You got to... That's not the case, Ron. They're not going to put it on the shelf. They're going to be out of stock before you get it, or they wouldn't be asking it for it.
Looking at orders, they don't show any back order or anything.
According to their records and their usage and so forth, they need a soon.
An M order, there should not be an M order placed on us with a back order.
Right.
An M order is strictly an order for service, for anticipated
right.
service usage in the future.
Right.
So there should not be back orders on it. If there's a back order on it, it should be as a custom order or an order.
Right. Sorry, you will.
Well, we have a problem because, you know, what we're suggesting
the only solution is to get them to put the proper lead times in.
I cannot do that.
Well, then, if they won't put the proper lead times in, then we'll write to their boss, and we'll write to our boss, and get solved.
Yeah.
But the way we handled it the last time we got into this problem was we took it, and it was basically at that time they were ordering like twice a month. Placing batches of M orders twice a month. And we went back, we reviewed our lead times, we reviewed what we would supply, what we would supply, and then for the next, I think, 90 days, we looked at what we received. was, what they gave us, and we're back and pretty well straightened it out.
I think what you ought to do is take a look at all the orders that come in the next month or so and plot whether they're within our lead time or not. And see what percent they're placing with property. And then get a commitment from Morrison, he's going to solve it. And if he won't do it, then we'll go upstairs. They want, they have to drive our system here. Somebody might take more parts than they had anticipated. That means that they need that replenished quicker than they had thought they were going to. And we have to try to do it. And that's the only way that you can prioritize things.
And you know what's going to happen with the system we just built. What's going to happen is you're going to be caught in production. You can take it right out and ship it forever. And then truck it back in.
What happens is, and it shouldn't be a continuous deal like that anymore, but what normally happens is, if you have a run, an unexpected run on certain parts, it's because you've got some bad parts in the field that are breaking, you know, abnormally. And that's usually about the only time you see a real unexpected, you know, group of parts at one particular time. If you've got heat treatment wrong or something on it, or you've got some wrong material that treated up to surface hardness, but it's brittle. And you're running this stuff like that. You're periodically running things on some dry bushings and on some breakout chucks and fork chucks and stuff like that. But it shouldn't be a tremendous amount of parts. But that's the one that, you know, they won't anticipate issues down the road. They'll have five on the shelf. And in a matter of overnight, you know, the five are gone and they get caught behind. That shouldn't be the majority.
That's the thing the study is going to show you. What percent of the stuff do they send out are probably legal? If they don't send it down right, then we should get that corrected. And then when they do the best they can, then we'll drive our system by their need base. Which is what the customers tell us, what the activities tell us.
Well, the thing though is, you know, they could be putting very little into the scheduling function up there. And we're paying the price for it. They say, oops, sorry, I made a mistake. If I send it to them early, it's on the shelf, and I got to fly it back here.
Well, they're not making a mistake on the scheduling system. They got a good scheduling system. That's all computer generated.
Yeah, but they could be putting in their usage at too low a rate.
Well, we're getting hurt more than anything right now, Cal, is on emergencies. Everything's coming in as an emergency because even the branch people will tell you they're not stocking anything that they don't have to stock. And if it's something that the Scataway has not seen a lot of history on, they're all coming in as an emergency and they'll pay that 15% premium for it rather than put it on the shelf. And that'll hurt us more than M orders, than 10% unscheduled M orders. That'll hurt us more.
You'll find out the majority of the stuff that comes on an emergency probably covered or not covered by the M orders. In other words, it's stuff that wasn't normally ordered on an M order system anyway. Most of the stuff that comes out on M orders. Or it's stuff that we haven't shipped them on the M orders. We fulfill the M order situation the way it should work, then our emergency situation, the customer situation will probably evaporate.
Well, the only thing,
if they don't have the proper lead time, we're not filling the orders right.
Let's say
consequently, that's the reason we have all this other problem.
Well, let's say that they don't have the proper lead time. They find that they're unable to do us the proper lead time, which is sporadic. That's probably what's going to happen.
They're going to have some of that, but it's not going to be a lot.
Well, I'll say they have a lot.
Won't be a lot.
And that means that we've got the same problem running the stuff that was the lead time in the shop.
But that's not going to be a big problem.
Yeah, but if it's 10% as opposed to 80 or 90%, it might help the business. What you're going to see, you're going to see seasonal demands too. Now, some of them they can plan for, but you'll see some seasonal demands, especially in the cold. You get into frozen conditions. track components and stuff like that where a machine freezes. And the same thing in summer when you get into real mud conditions and stuff like that. It's going to create demands on breakage on parts that normally would not break. And you're going to see some runs on stuff like that. If the coal business does come back, is what people are hoping that it does. We're going to see that. We're going to see that, you know, this winter. We're going to see it, you know, when it starts thawing out. So it's real sloppy.
Less than the next month, run this study as to how many orders they enter within the time, properly done. And let's get the information back to them as to what our lead time should be. And let's start this activity on monitoring these 1 to 2 piece orders to determine whether we should be building here or trying to subcontract them outside. Okay? And drive our scheduling system by their remember, it's not them and us. We sell parts. Our division sells parts. And it all comes out on our bottom line. They don't make a nickel of that. All they do is distribute parts for us. So it's not like we sell it to them and then they sell it to somebody else. It all comes back on our bottom profit line.
So
it's all consolidated back to us. Why don't we do it? Because they decided to set the scallery up.
Those guys do a hand-faced job. It comes out of our pocket.
That's right. That's exactly right, Barry. Everything they do and we do comes out of our pocket. As I said, they're trying to hold the inventory down for us, not for them. For us. We're the ones that pay the interest rate on that inventory.
We're holding the inventory down by us paying 10 times the standard cost of the item because we have to get by everything in premium. We haven't sold it.
We won't have to buy it anymore. Once that's corrected, then you'll find the system will work pretty decent.
Oh, sure.
If you can get that corrected, go upstairs. Good, that's the end.